Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
It's your job. I give you money.
You never say thank you.
That's what the money is for.
That's crazy. It would have been on a talk radio show like Sports Chat or Sportzilla and the Jabberjaw.
Well, Andy, we have one game that can save the entire Week 8 slate, and it comes our way in less than 45 minutes. The Packers and the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers facing his former team. Otherwise, even going back to Thursday night, this week was a shit show. How you doing,
well,
my friend?
We did have the Jets with the comeback against the Bengals.
We had one game. Jets. That was it. A comeback by an 0-7 team that nobody outside of Mike Greenberg and Boomer Esiason give a shit about. I don't know what the record is, and I did tweet this just a little bit ago. I said, I don't know if there's a record or whatever, but we're facing a week if the Commanders don't cover the 11.5 on Monday night against the Chiefs, in which there may only be one game that is within 10 or fewer points. That's not what this league has been as of late.
As of late, and that's a good point, because when people like me wax nostalgic about the 80s, there were a lot of games like this. And the 49ers on their way to Super Bowls, they used to have like three or four walkovers guaranteed every year. I mean, they had two games against the Saints. Who else was in there? Oh, Atlanta was in that division. They used to kill them. So, yeah, there were a lot more blowouts then than there are now.
But I would like to know, and I would bet now as we're approaching the midway point of the season, somebody
out there in the Twitter sphere is going to calculate the percentage of double digit or more than one score wins as a percentage of the entire league. And I'd be willing to bet this is one of the higher numbers in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and all that talk about parity, it's not holding up this year, is it?
Well, true, but there's also no super teams, right?
True.
Like, who are the best teams in the league as we look to the end of week number eight? The Colts, you want to dub them the Buccaneers? I mean, come on.
Yeah, the Colts had a blowout. Yeah, 49ers lost again, didn't they? Yeah.
So, they did?
Yeah.
You want to put the Patriots there at 6-2?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the quarterback. They obviously made the right move changing coaches. And it makes Belichick look even worse in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. So, that Gerard Mayo experiment was one certainly to forget. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you and I did the same thing on a 60-degree cherry perfect fall day. We flushed our Sunday afternoon in service to Roger Goodell and the fucking Shield. I mean, I sat in my own theater all day today watching. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I should be outside. Winter is coming. What's wrong with me?
And the one team that I commit to watching every game and just about every minute is the Commanders. And they weren't even playing.
Right. So why didn't you go out and do anything? Partly because I had an invite, by the way. I had an invite to go play golf at a nice private club. And I said no, like a moron. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not flushing my Sundays to a league that not only is getting more boring all the time, but can we admit that they can't even officiate their own product anymore with any reasonable amount of certainty? What do you mean, here we go? Did you see the tush push fiasco again in Philly?
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I want to do away with the whole thing. And it's not just the tush push. I was watching the Bills. I watched Red Zone almost all day, and I watched the Bills beat up on Carolina.
Right.
And Josh Allen was around the goal line, and one of his teammates with like a 5-yard start comes up and hits him in the back and pushes him in the end zone. That's aiding the runner. I grew up thinking that that was a rule, that you can't aid the runner. And 20 years ago, they went, we can't officiate it, so it's gone.
Well,
that's stupid.
I'd be fine if that was the only instance in which you would push an existing runner. It's the lining up of a rugby play. See, the Hurts, you saw the Hurts non-fumble, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So for those that didn't, and if you're listening to this podcast, you should be moderately up on the world of sports, because this is going to be talked about a lot, including on ESPN on Monday morning. Hurts is reaching with the ball on the tush push. Mm-hmm. His body is lying on a pile of other bodies. Therefore, he is not down. And in comes Brian Burns of the Giants and swipes the ball away. It's a clean, obvious turnover. And the referees claimed, we had declared forward momentum had been stopped and the play was over. Yet the whistles don't come until well after the ball was out. So they were bullshitting. And here's the craziest thing, and I'm getting worked up now. Why can't the expedited replay fix that? Because it's non-reviewable, neither by red flag, which Dable desperately wanted to use, nor by the eye in the sky and the call in New York. They can't review it. And it leads to wide open speculation of, well, you can just make up any play you want at any time with this ruling of, it was forward progress. Never mind that fumble. Never mind that interception. Never mind that first down.
Two things. One, the referee made a point of saying, like, scolding the Giants. We told them that they can't review the play.
Right.
The second thing is, I think when they line up to do the tush push, the officials subconsciously go, well, here they go. They're going to make this. So, let's just get this over with and move on.
So, like, they ruled it as if it was a touchdown and the play was over?
No, I just think that when they see the Eagles lining up for the tush push, since they're so successful, subconsciously the referees are like, they're not even thinking about refereeing the play. They're just,
they should.
They're gonna get it.
They should be more acutely officiating it, because they've been put on notice that they're fucking up and missing false starts and missing offsides and everything else. It blows my mind that all of these calls favor the Eagles on the tush push. Right. They haven't been fucked yet by a bad call on the tush push. I'm just waiting for there to be one bad call against them. I don't get it.
It's because they're successful at it and have been. And so you're predisposed to think they're going to do it. Oh, this is the Eagles. This is their move. This is what they do.
Now, you know me, I'm anti-replay, but why can't you review forward progress?
I don't know.
Why is there such a thing as forward progress? Why don't we just make the rules that you are down when you are fucking down, period.
One thing I like in the pros over college is that when you're down and you're not touched, you can get up. And so this big fat lineman from Denver intercepted a pass and got up and ran. I thought that was good. That's a good play.
There is also a play. There is a pick six by the Buccaneers in New Orleans that was taken off the board because the referees claimed there was a whistle. Fox then replayed the raw audio. No announcers, no whistle. I mean,
I don't know.
The league cannot officiate itself on a consistent basis now. It is beyond maddening. And that takes us to the Ravens fiasco with their listing of Lamar Jackson. So to get everyone up to speed, you should know this already, but I'll just walk you through it. Lamar Jackson was limited in practice or listed as limited in practice Wednesday and Thursday. Friday, they listed him as a full participant. And everyone thought, including bettors, including the Vegas line, he's playing on Sunday against the Bears. Turns out on Saturday, out of the blue, they go, oh, you know what? He's out for the game. And by the way, we didn't mean to say he was a full participant. He actually just did reps with the scout team. The line moved 5.5, even 6 points based on this information. And it comes on the heels of the NBA's worst gambling scandal yet. And I say yet, Andy, because there could be more to come on this. What are we doing?
When I heard what you just laid out about Lamar, I thought, man, the timing on this couldn't be worse. This is all we talked about for Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And now Saturday we get this? Wow.
I just don't understand how this happens. I mean, I know that Jim Harbaugh, who is a good professional liar like most coaches are, say, well, we weren't trying to do anything sneaky. It was just a careless error on our part. We're like, oh yeah, practice squad reps, scout team reps. I should have said not full participant. The rules actually lay out specifically that scout team reps don't count as full reps or participation. Harbaugh is one of the longest tenured coaches in the league with Mike Tomlin. You don't make this mistake. And if you do make that mistake, their PR guy or somebody would go, hey, boss, we can't list him as full participant. He did scout reps.
Let me ask you this. It won't happen, but don't you think the appropriate move by the league should be, well, we're suspending Lamar for the Thursday game?
I would suspend somebody. I'd suspend Lamar. I'd suspend Harbaugh. Suspend.
Okay.
Fine. And take a draft pick away. Send an unequivocal a message of, hey, fuckers, this is not the time to open the door to conspiracy theorists, ne'er-do-wells, and gambling types that are going to want to fly drones over practices to see who's actually practicing. We instituted this whole transparent system of participant, non-participant, probable, questionable, likely, all this other stuff because we wanted to get this out of the game. What are we doing?
But, you know, I tweeted this out. I was watching the Red Zone. They do have occasional commercials now, and they had one
for, how do you feel about that?
DraftKings. Well, it doesn't interrupt me, so it's okay. It's very quick. But what I noticed was then the DraftKings spot, down at the bottom, there's a telephone number to call if you have a gambling problem.
Right.
And, you know, with what's happened in the NBA, with the NFL, I mean, they know that this is slimy stuff, but there's just a gusher of money, and so they're not going to turn away. But the fact of the matter is these sites thrive on people who do have gambling problems. The guys who are putting down 10 and 12 bucks, 10 or 15 bucks, whatever it is, for, you know, a second half cover or something like that. That's not where they make their money. They make their money on people who are addicted to this. And, you know, there's nothing that's going to change because the leagues are loving it. It's a big money source right now.
Well, that's going to lead to a larger discussion about how do you ban prop bets if you can ban prop bets, because the prop bets are the real. I don't think you can either. Somebody's going to offer them. They're very popular. The kids love playing the props, first time touchdown, anytime touchdown, over unders, et cetera. And, you know, the reason that prop bets are so insidious is it allows individual bad actors to cash in without really being able to prove, did you have an injury? And is that why you left the game? You know, they caught guys like Jonte Porter and Rozier because of the irregular betting that goes with it. And they look at all this stuff, but it's still too tempting. And once upon a time, you couldn't just bet a prop with your local bookie. They didn't have the bandwidth or the time and give a shit to offer prop bets to guys bringing an envelope to a parking lot of a gas station every Monday.
And when we first heard about the legalized betting, the reaction was, well, I mean, you can't pay LeBron enough money to throw a game. Yes, but you can throw a prop bet if you're Jonte Porter and you're making the minimum. And that's what's happening now. These lower level guys, they're reaching them, and the, you know, $100,000 or whatever you're going to give them means something to them.
And it's got knock on effects because now the coaches and the players are all like, hey, I don't want to be tainted by any of this. Here's Jaylen Brown talking about it for the Celtics.
Your personal feeling about the gambling climate around sports, like what are your feelings just around, you know, that?
Me personally, I think, you know, that whole world was introduced a couple years ago, and I don't think they took players into consideration, especially with, you know, the energy and the behavior that goes around, you know, gambling and how that directly correlates with players. We don't benefit from any of the profits or anything like that, but we got to deal with, you know, a lot of the extra negativity and scrutiny behind all the gambling stuff. And then on top of that, you know, it creates more integrity issues, et cetera. So I'm not sure what the answer is going forward. But, you know, definitely something that people got to spend more time having conversations about.
Yeah. He makes $60 million a year. Well, we don't profit from this. Many people said, oh, shut the fuck up.
You too, because it's something called the salary cap, and the total revenue is based on how the salary cap is the number is. So yes, you benefit tremendously from that.
Right.
But TV revenue has a lot to do with it, but that all goes into the stew. And yes, $60 million is more than the lifetime earnings of the entire Boston Celtics team that won 8 straight championships. It's probably more. It might be as much as the Bulls made for their 6 titles, including Michael Jordan, whose top salary was like $3 million when he played.
No, I think 1 year he got 30. He got 30 the final year. But here's the thing. These players, even though they're making the most money in the history of North American professional sports, guaranteed contracts, highest average annual salary, they still look at it like, well, where's our taste? They're like Tony Soprano, hand out after Pio Mai won that race to Ralphie Cifaretto, who kept peeling off hundreds, pausing, and then looking at Tony, who didn't retract his hand. And he was getting more and more bitter, like, fuck, you want more? Yeah, I want my taste. That's the players.
Yeah. Well, but, and again, those Jaylen Brown and that group, they don't really represent the rank and file. But the rank and file is doing pretty well too. And
Terry Rozier has made $130 million.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. And he was dumb enough to get involved in this shit.
Well, first of all, the I think it was Barkley or Shaq, one of them said, well, you know, if you're making $9 million a year, you shouldn't be doing this. That has nothing to do with it. It's the action. That's what they want. Well, they want the action.
Right. Well, Barkley should be the last guy to speak, because he got in deep with the casinos in Vegas when he was already making and had lots of money. So he's the prime example of, why are you gambling? You don't need the money. It's just a proxy for competition. But the funniest thing is these guys lose so badly, and they don't look at it. They don't look at it like, God, I'm not very good at gambling. I should probably stop. It's just so dysfunctional. Then there was, of course, Windhorst, who said, hey, how come the NBA cleared Terry Rozier and 2 days later he's being arrested by the feds? That's kind of a bad look right there. Here's old Windy on what happened last year when they saw some of these irregular prop bets.
Absolutely right, Rich. The NBA at some point is going to have to explain why Terry Rozier was allowed to keep playing. And I just want to point something out.
Mm-hmm.
The sports books caught the irregular betting on Terry Rozier the day it happened, the morning it happened, when all of a sudden there was hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in on Terry Rozier unders for a relatively meaningless game in November. I'm sorry, in March, mm-hmm. involving the Charlotte Hornets. The sports books caught it. They told the NBA right away. And guess what? The NBA, Rozier didn't play the rest of the season. And he had faked the injury, so it wasn't because of the injury. The NBA pulled him. They pulled Jontay Porter, too. They flagged Jontay Porter and pulled Jontay Porter. The NBA's measures, mm-hmm. their protection measures, the sportsbook's protection measures, it triggered this. They caught it.
Uh-huh.
The issue, I think, is, you know, Jontay Porter, they caught.
So there it was right there. Now, Windy, some say, walked back his comments here the following day because he talked to the NBA and the NBA said, oh, we didn't shut down Terry Rozier. The Hornets did. To which I'm like, potato, potato. That's a difference without a distinction right there. So it's the Hornets who shut him down, not you. The upshot of all of this, Andy, is that it breathes real life and real credibility into one of the great conspiracy theories of our time in all of sports history. And that is Michael Jordan's side trip into baseball, where he was terrible, but still played AAA and briefly for the White Sox at the major league level. Did he make the majors with the White Sox?
No.
He didn't.
No.
He got to AAA, I believe. Hit like 206.
I don't think he got that far.
Maybe not even that far. Yeah. The greatest conspiracy theory is that he was basically banned by the NBA for a year for his gambling debts on the golf course and in casinos and other places, and that they're worried about his associations. This now makes that theory more credible than it ever has been.
It's possible. I did, though, see Adam Silver interviewed about this, and he said that they did their own investigation, but the feds took over, and the feds had subpoena power, the NBA. It's a mess. And by the way, Silver was the first one to say, we got to have legalized gambling. He said they got it in Europe. People bet on their phones during the game. It's a natural. We have to have it. Well, you know, these are the side effects that come along with it.
Yeah. But prior to him, all the other commissioners were toe to toe saying no gambling. We want no part of it until they got seduced by the dollar signs. And when the dollar signs filled their vision, they let the snake into the Garden of Eden, and now they're dealing with the blowback. The credibility burn on all professional sports now is an out-of-control fire. And they may survive it to a certain extent, but this has been a horrible, horrible, greedy, dumb idea. They should have never wanted any part of it. And guess what, NFL? You're next. Next because you know you're going to be next.
But I don't think that the credibility doubt that is naturally created by this is going to hurt the bottom line. I don't think people are going to stop watching.
Not immediately, but still, it's bad. It makes me feel even dumber for investing any time or money into this league.
We had this even before the legalized gambling. Remember Game 6 between the Kings and the Lakers?
I remember. I wouldn't shut up about it with you on the sports reporters. Now it's going through chapter and verse, the 22 fourth quarter free throws that the Lakers attempted.
Right. So it was
the fact that Scott Pollard fouled out. Scott Pollard fouled out in like 11 minutes flat trying to guard Shaq.
Right. They had to have the Lakers in the finals because we needed Lakers on Sunday with 60 minutes and Chinese food. That's what we like.
Yeah. I want to go back to Thursday night. I heard something from Kirk Herbstreit that blew my mind. This was after Carson Wentz got beat to shit for the last time in the game, sacked, hurt his elbow. He comes limping off the field. I mean, this guy, he's like Cap Rooney in Any Given Sunday. You know, the old grizzled vet. And he's in pain. I think he realizes that his career as a starter, his last start may have been this game itself. And he slumps on the bench, eyes to the sky, tears forming in his eyes. And Herbie, the dog act, decides this was the time to go all tough guy, old school. Take a listen.
Tell you 1,000 words or replace it. This can be like 3,000 words.
Yeah. You know, I understand. It's been obviously a rough night, and he hadn't had a lot of help. But to me, when you're the captain of the ship, you're the quarterback, you got to try to hold some of that emotion in. And I know he's frustrated.
And he's hurt.
But it's week 7. You know, there's a long way to go, and... I think that some of that's just raw emotion.
Yeah, he's been in the mix master tonight all night long.
You know, if Justin Jefferson does that, it's...
Here, I want to hear this.
Probably on SportsCenter, it's everywhere, on social media. What's wrong with this guy? Quarterback does that. To me, it's worse.
Hey, look, we've all been there. Stress from work, restless nights, your mind racing when you're trying to wind down. What if I told you there's a natural way to feel calmer and to sleep better? That's where CBDFX comes in. And let me tell you, they've got this figured out. They've got something for everyone, from sleep gummies to CBD capsules and topicals. Take their CBD and CBD night capsules, for example. These are designed to help you fall asleep quickly and stay asleep throughout the night. They contain CBN, what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid, plus other natural sleep aids. And their original mixed berry CBD gummies have actually won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards. They provide gentle, calming effects that boost your overall well-being with a delicious natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been around since 2014, so they know what they're doing. Everything's made right here in the USA with organic hemp. No GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, plus third-party lab reports back everything up. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my listeners can get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX.com. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX.
This is Kirk Street, who played how many years in the NFL? How many? None.
This is Kirk Herbstreit, who needs an emotional support dog with him at every step on college game day. Same Herbstreit who cried after the George Floyd riots on television, saying, "We just all got to be better." Suddenly, he's now the body language police. And the comparison to Justin Jefferson's ridiculous. Jefferson and other wide receivers have slammed their helmets on the sideline, as Wentz has done. They have slumped and sat away from the team. I mean, this is something that happens. And to call him the captain of the ship, no. He's the backup who should not even be playing. Because earlier in the game, he was pretty much slurping up the Vikings' decision on holding J.J. McCarthy out for yet another week. The most absurd thing ever. You got a 22-year-old with an ankle injury that's a 7-week ankle that did not require surgery. It's the biggest bunch of bullshit. Everyone can see through it. It's a soft benching because they don't think he can play right now. And here's Herbie saying, "Well, I'm going to let that guy pass. Let's go kill the 34-year-old who's nearly dead out there." It was very weird.
Although Wentz has hardly been the beacon of the team guy. I mean, he's been thrown out of several teams for not being such a team guy.
Is that true? Was he that way with the Commanders?
The Eagles didn't like him. He was a whiny guy with the Eagles. They traded him to the Colts.
Well, remember, he was their savior till his knee blew up, all 3 ligaments in that game in L.A.
Right. Then he came back. They did not draft Hurts to be the starter. He was supposed to be the backup. And he was bad there, and then he started whining. They traded him to the Colts. He lost the last game of the year to the Jaguars, but, you know, they had a pretty good season with him, but they still unloaded him. And then he went to Washington, and he stunk, and now he's been bouncing around the league for a while. Yeah. So, I don't know.
He is, as I said, on 106.7 The Fan on Saturday. By the way, thank you for everybody who called and have emailed and tweeted me saying it was great to hear my voice on again. I was back on the air, Andy, on terrestrial sports radio in Washington, D.C. on 106.7.
Breakdown Packers secondary. Talk about Wisconsin recruiting.
Fuck you. No, I actually did. I had to do a lot of homework on the two teams that are in for long walks in the woods.
James Daniels is the quarterback, if you didn't know.
Smart guy. The Commanders was the easiest because I've already been keeping up with them for the most part. Yeah. I had to deep dive into the Nats and the Wizards.
The Wizards. Who's on the Wizards now? Nobody.
So get this. I don't know how much you use AI, Grok, ChatGPT. Do you use any AI, Andy?
I don't. I'm this site that you've given me uses up a lot of battery power, so I've got to put the
you got to plug your phone in right now.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to remove it from your handy dandy stand that you get.
All right, you go ahead and do that. I'm gonna take your volume down while you go ahead and do that. But yeah, so I go to ChatGPT. No, I go to Grok actually because I don't pay for ChatGPT. Grok comes with my X subscription of $9 a month. And I type in, get this, Andy, I type in, who is the Washington Wizards franchise player? And it begins with an answer that says, well, currently, most NBA experts do not believe that the Wizards have a franchise player. And then it delves into the various young players that may or may not become good, including Koulibaly and who else is on the team? Trey Johnson was drafted this year. They get this, though. They did not list Alex Saar. And I'm like, I thought they picked somebody 1/2 a year ago out of France. Sure enough, they did. Grok didn't even have Alex Saar in their little capsule of who's their franchise player. It also had in there that, you know, sorry, you're making lots of noise on me there. Do you have it under control, Andy?
I think so. My power cord, I think, is working. Hold on 1 second.
Don't you have conductive charging on that phone? What iPhone is that?
It's an 11.
Oh my God.
Oh, come on. How long you known me?
So you don't have battery charge. You don't have what they call conductive charging, which would be
I mean you're lucky I don't have a flip phone, for God's sakes.
Okay. So anyway, my point is even Grok and other AI can't keep up with some of these franchises. So I then looked, I was like, oh yeah, they got Alex Saar, and he was like a double-double guy, but nobody really thinks he's on the path to stardom. Who knows? But it was a lot of digging. And then I had to dig into the fact that the Nationals don't have a manager yet. And the World Series is already into Game 3 now, which I could get your thoughts on the World Series so far, but still. So I did a lot of research to just be at least credible on some of the teams in the city. I mean, you got the Caps, who are still good with Ovechkin chugging along. And then the Commanders, we'll see after what they do on Monday night. But my God, Andy, the Wizards and the Nationals, they're going to be in the woods a long time.
Well, the Nationals got some 32-year-old pitcher who hired his 31-year-old friend from the Red Sox. And
as GM, new GM.
But, you know, look, I think the hope is that with the end of the Masson deal and the fact that you know, the ownership has been split, let's put it that way, on wanting to sell, that maybe now is the time to do it. So we'll see.
All right, college football real quick. Indiana might be the best team in the country.
Isn't that amazing? Indiana
might be the best football team in the country. Sure, they played UCLA, which had undergone a bit of a revival since firing their coach. But, man, they just hammered them mercilessly. Other than the usual standbys, like Ohio State is the one of the blue bloods that's at or near the top. This has been the wildest year I can remember in college football. Georgia Tech is undefeated as well.
Right. Look at Ole Miss. Their quarterback was playing Division II football last year. Nitti is showing is that might be the way to go. Brian Kelly is a freaking disaster. They don't know what to do because the buyout's $53 million, but they're going to have to do it.
Right.
Cignetti is a guy who had a lot of success along the way. And I think that's where you got to go shopping now. You got to go into what we used to call 1AA football and find the guys there because they're willing to work too. You know,
the Brian young guys. Kelly's coming from,
yeah. And hungry. I'm not that Cignetti's young, but this was his big opportunity. He had been, you know, scraping along. He worked in big time programs as an assistant, but as a head coach, he was like at Indiana University, Pennsylvania, I think at one point.
Oh yeah.
He was, yeah. James Madison. He made James Madison. He took James Madison from that, the 1AA or whatever they call it, to the big boys and didn't miss a beat. They were, you know, close to undefeated in that. So that's what I think you got to look for. These big names that you're trying to move from place, like James Franklin, he's going to get a big job. Do you think he's necessarily going to be successful in the next place? I don't.
No. Ohio State, number one this week at 7-0. Indiana, second at 8-0. A&M, which ripped through LSU at Death Valley at night. More on that in a second. They're 8-0. Alabama, 7-1. Georgia, 6-1. Oregon, 7-1. They struggled against Wisconsin, but still won. Ole Miss, 7-1. Georgia Tech, 8-0. Vandy squeaked out a win. They're 7-1. BYU is 8-0, and they're cracking the top 10 right now. What a year in college football. And about Kelly, they're circling. The Buzzards are circling in Baton Rouge. As of Sunday night when we tape this, there's a real possibility that by tomorrow morning he's out.
Good. He should be because he's an arrogant jerk, and he killed somebody at Notre Dame.
Killed a kid.
And
Declan Sullivan.
Yep. And last year when they lost the game, he said, "We're taking receipts." Yeah, right.
And the
arrogance too of the school, like the narrative was when they hired him, well, if that dope Ed Orgeron can win a national championship, anybody can. And he had the generational quarterback in Jaden Daniels. They lost 4-3 games during the 2 years he was there. He's a joke. And he should go back to someplace like Cincinnati.
Well, and the funniest thing was his fake accent the night that he was introduced at the basketball game. Here's what it sounded like when he said, "Me and my family are just so proud to be down here. My family.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana."
The decision that came about after spending time with my family.
I'm here with my family. And
time with my family.
My family.
I mean, what a fucking phony. You and I hate phonies more than anything else, right?
No, and he's a phony.
And him saying, "We haven't even gotten to all my wins yet."
Oh, yeah.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
I'm trying to get to the full cut. It's amazing how the full cut of this is not easily found on the internet when it should be. Here, I think this is the larger cut. Hold on. Let's go ahead and play this. Where? Oh, you fucking Facebook.
All my games yet.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here.
Yeah, okay. But you know what? You got to say, the fans down there, they were all about it when they got them. So...
yeah.
It's not like the fans are not complicit in this entire farce, right?
I guess. I mean, but it was pretty clear from the beginning that he was a clown. And when he started losing, they should have had Plan B in place. And look, you know, this Notre Dame thing probably helped him, but his successor is probably going to be in the mix again, and he got to the final game.
So. Yeah. One last thing about college football. So did you see the Pat McAfee kicking contest winner at Vanderbilt Saturday?
I just saw the clip of it. Yeah. Got $500,000. Did he win that much?
Yeah. So he's a chemical engineering student at Vanderbilt. He played soccer his whole life. He dabbled in football as a place kicker in high school for a few games, he said. They had footage of him practicing for the kick because I guess they pre-select them now. He was practicing with some of Vanderbilt's kickers prior to the kick, and he just hammered it in his socks. It's supposed to be $100,000 kick. It started as we're going to draw one name randomly from the kids standing online waiting to go ahead and, you know, be there for game day, to now he just ups the value. He goes, you know what? Let's make it $500,000. And the story that everyone's pushing is, oh no, this is his own money. He's donating his own money. There is no fucking way he's giving up $500,000 post-tax money for this contest. There's got to be an insurance angle to this. There's got to be part of this built into the ESPN production budget. There is no way he's that generous.
Yeah, I it does seem odd. He's also under fire now. Reportedly, he's been nasty to producers.
Oh, he's acting like a diva. I know, but that's what he does. That's who he is. I've been blocked by him. Oh, by the way, I can't.
Oh, really?
I can't even like or retweet anything, any piece of content that comes from their show. And I'm just like, wow. I feel like kind of honored, but I don't even remember going on any kind of Twitter rant about McAfee. Anyway, it just here's what I don't get. So, do they ever want somebody to miss it ever again? Do they ever want somebody who has no chance of kicking a 35-yarder again? Is it just like Oprah with the, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car? Like, it's not exciting if they're bringing ringers in every week.
Also, it's a very short part of a three-hour show. Is it really worth that much money and that much attention for that?
Right. They would get the same sizzle at $50,000. In my opinion, that's a ton of money for a college student. In an age of very tight budgets and cutbacks, are you kidding me? They're giving away $500,000, really, for a single 35-yarder, basically a professional extra point. The kid in his socks probably was good from 50. He just hammered the shit out of it.
Do you think he promised some of the players on the team who helped him prepare some of the pot? I bet he did.
Well, what's funny is that he... They were talking about Neil on the show at one point, and he said, you know, West Virginia had a big donor that had backed out, and some of the players weren't getting paid. And so, you know, the Rich Rodriguez coach at the time called him up and said, hey, you know, any chance you could help out? I'm trying to keep some of these kids here. And McAfee said he sent some money, probably to kids who were already on their way out the door.
Well, he's a former player, so I guess he's got booster money. But he was paying Aaron Rodgers $1 million to go on his show.
Right. Now, that was a smart investment because it elevated his profile. It gave him a killer interview every week that tuned in for tons of views, tons of retweets, and everything else. That was very smart. He bought an expensive piece of property, Rodgers, and used it to his maximum advantage. He's just pissing money away on stupid kicks if he's really paying the money, and I just don't believe it.
Or is it related to this? Maybe he said to the ESPN execs, because they rate him by quarter hours, if the quarter hour where the kick goes through is bigger than some of the others, then I should get extra money
bonus
for that.
So that he's forking over his bonus for hyping up this kick? I don't know.
Could be. I don't know.
Either way, it just doesn't quite add up to me. That said, last thing before I let you go, we watch this night game. Hopefully it's a good one because the NFL slate has stunk this week. And that is, did you see the story Michael Jordan told on the first night of basketball for NBC, where he's going to be a ongoing contributor, about the last time he shot a basketball at a hoop?
I did, and I saw the clip of him actually doing it.
Okay.
And I was uber impressed.
Okay.
Because, well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Do you want me to?
No, go ahead. I'm finding the audio right as we speak.
Here's why I was impressed. Because it's the first time I've ever seen him be self-deprecating. And it's the first time I've ever heard him say, I was scared to death. And he, because he's the greatest competitor ever. He went up and he hit the shot. And as I was watching this, I was thinking, you know, they're paying him a lot of money. It's Michael Jordan. But they set it up in the same format as The Last Dance, with Tirico sitting across from him and him sitting in a chair with right. his legs crossed. I think this will be great television as he tells stories over the years. And I think that Tirico will be able to mine that stuff. I mean, they went to his house for this. This is a guy, they probably paid him a couple million dollars, maybe more.
Yeah,
and, you know, like they say, Muhammad doesn't go to the mountain; the mountain goes to Muhammad.
Well, it was an easy. Yeah. All right. Here was the story. According to this was Tirico's interview with Michael Jordan.
MJ stories or battles against him at a younger age at the college, and the whole bring the ball to court.
God damn it!
So we,
do you ever pick up a ball and just shoot?
I haven't picked up a ball in years.
Last time you picked up a basketball and shot?
I was at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I rented a house from. From the owner.
Sure.
He came over to do pictures. He had grandkids. And I was meet and greet and thank him for allowing me to stay in the house. And he had a basketball court. He says, I want you to shoot one free throw. I said, really? Now, I already paid for the house. It's not like he got to see me. So when I stepped up to shoot the free throw, that's the most nervous I've been in years.
Stop it.
In years.
Stop it. Come on.
And reason being is those kids heard the stories from the parents about what I did 30 years ago.
Right.
So their expectation is 30 years prior, and I haven't touched the basketball.
I hope you swished it.
Absolutely.
And he did. And then the video surfaced. Some people thought it was a tall tale, that it was mostly bullshit. And then the video comes out, and it's absolute proof. I saw that clip, and I was like, man, MJ is the fucking bomb. He is the real one. He's the realest of the real ones. He disappeared. Like, us hearing from him just this last week was the first time since I think he made those awkward, the ceiling is the roof comments down at Chapel Hill. Like, he never does interviews. He's not on social media. He doesn't fucking need it.
He's like Koufax. And he could have said to this guy, look, Sparky, I just paid you whatever he paid.
$25,000 for a weekend.
I'm not a show pony here. I don't perform for your grandkids, okay? You want them to know what I did? Tell them to check out YouTube, because there's a lot of highlights there, okay? So you and your kids, I'll take pictures with them, but I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be like a trained SEAL here and do what you asked me to. I thought it was great that he did it, and he swished it, of course.
He's the coolest guy ever. I do think there is some danger of NBC and the NBA of putting the old school stuff so front and center. Like, look, the basketball, the theme from Michael Tesh is, or John Tesh.
Yeah.
The classic theme from John Tesh is back. Oh, look, these graphics are back. Oh, look, we're going to have Jordan. What does that say about your current product? They paid so much money.
Television.
Experts are saying they're going to lose their ass on this deal for quite a while.
Well, no, I don't think so, because young people like the NBA and old people like us watch television. Yeah. And that's a television network. So I think it's smart.
Andy not understanding that I just got laid off because companies paid too much for rights fees. But yeah, you keep believing that companies never lose money on the rights to sports properties.
Well, it's the model that Fox came up with, and Fox overpaid for the NFL and built their network on that. Not to say that NBC is necessarily going to do that with the NBA, but I think this is a level of economics that's above you and my pay grade.
Yeah. Anyway, Jordan is the coolest, and that was a cool
story. Best. All right. Best. Absolutely.
Andy, let's go watch hopefully one good NFL game for week number 8. Otherwise, it's been a complete wash. And we'll chat next week. And thank you for putting together the little phone stand and light combo that I sent you via Amazon. I now have to work on getting you upgraded from an iPhone 11 because you are very far out of date.
I also have to make sure that the phone is charged, but I do appreciate the stand, which came without a screw and Allen wrench, and I was very fortunate that I have all those extra
tools?
Parts left over my really? Failed home and business project. So I was able to find those two items and put it together. Yeah. Yes.
iPhone 11 released in 2019. That was pre-pandemic. You're due for an upgrade. Yeah, 2019.
I thought it was earlier than that.
Thought it was older than that? Yeah. Well, there's a lot of new features on the new phones I think you'd appreciate, Andy. We'll see. Yeah. All right, my friend.
All right.
Talk to you next week. Thank you. That's why I'm easy. Like Sunday morning.